coming up on NHL Fantasy on Ice. What are viable lineup options and waiver wire targets to help stay afloat with Austin Matthews on the shelf? Updated top 200 rankings. Who's rising? Who's falling? Plus, Twitter questions, line shakeups, and DFS picks. NHL Fantasy on Ice starts now.
Pete Jensen, Rob Reese back with you here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're recording this episode on Tuesday morning ahead of a jam-packed 11-game slate in the NHL. So, Rob, everybody's tinkering their lineups after all these injuries over the weekend. Big-time implications.
Right off the bat, Austin Matthews, shoulder out at least 4 weeks. Jonathan Quick, yet again, second time this season, lower body injury, out. Corey Schneider, back, I will say. Victor Hedman, though, out. And Max Pacioretty, out. Those are all big-time fantasy players. Implications across the board for your lineups.
Let's start with Austin Matthews. So Maple Leafs played a game on Monday night without Matthews. Matthews has been their primary generator of goals, points, everything across the board. He's been one of the fantasy studs early on. Nazem Kadri, this really helps his value. He was playing on the third line center. Did not have Nylander, who's still on sign. Didn't really have any strong line mates. He gets thrust up into the lineup, remains on that first power play unit, and scored a goal there on the power play against the Calgary Flames.
If I'm Kyle Dubas, I am catching a plane to Stockholm tomorrow and talking to William Nylander's agent because they need to get that deal done now. And for fantasy owners that have Matthews, what a better replacement option than a line mate of his, William Nylander, who's center and right wing eligible. So if they can get this deal done and get Nylander back in the lineup, it helps them as a team in general to make up for some of that scoring. And for fantasy, I mean, William Nylander will get that power play role. He'll get great exposure to the top six at even strength. Talk about a total home run if you can package a trade for Nylander now. He's not even playing, so I don't know why somebody wouldn't want to give him to you.
And good short-term boost as well for Kasperi Kapanen, who's seen a little bit of time on that first unit. We should note, however, that he was not on the first unit when Kadri scored that goal against the Flames. The first unit was Tavares, Kadri, Marner, Morgan Rielly, and then Patrick Marleau in the net front role. So that really hurts a little bit if Kapanen's not going to be there. And then, of course, when Nylander comes back, his value is going to take a major hit as well.
Definitely. And Kapanen was practicing there as of Monday. So it looks like he will start out on that power play spot, but who knows? I mean, these lines change so frequently. Combinations change every period of the game. So just something to keep an eye on from a DFS perspective. Certainly, if Kapanen is around that 5,000 price point, he would be a lineup lock for me. Another big-time injury, and just when we thought maybe the LA Kings were turning it around, Jonathan Quick goes out with a lower body injury. Jack Campbell back in. He did win that game for them against the New York Rangers on Sunday, so maybe a little bit of a boost for them. However, it was against the Rangers, probably one of the last place teams in the league come the end of the season. Are you buying in on this maybe the Kings are turning it around hype?
He's definitely worth adding, Jack Campbell. I mean, certainly I like the response. Even against a bottom feeder, you lost six in a row. You gotta do something to, you know, get the beat going again. And Dustin Brown came back. That was a big lift. He had one of those signature Dustin Brown games, scored a power play goal, had a bunch of hits, three shots on goal. That's what you can come to expect from him playing on a line with Anze Kopitar. Kovalchuk had a big game playing on a separate line. So I like that response from the Kings. It's going to be an uphill battle. The Western Conference is very tough right now. Teams like Vegas are not in. You know, some of these teams that are not in the playoff picture are still very strong teams. Anaheim's floundering right now.
That's the good news, is Anaheim. They're coming off the rails a little bit. This is a great opportunity for the Kings to get some consistency here. And honestly, I'm listening to a lot of people in the media saying, oh, this Kings team is too slow, it's too this, it's too that. Well, we're 10 games into the season. We have 72 games left. Like, there's plenty of time. No one is waking up sweating in the middle of the night about this. I'm sure that these veterans on LA can figure this thing out and get it going. And I'll be one of the people behind that train to say that they have enough talent, and especially with Dustin Brown back. And that a first-line player, when he's out of the lineup, can really throw things out of sorts. Like, you see it with Tom Wilson in Washington. They're rolling three different guys out in that spot on the top line. They just can't get anything going. It's a big loss when you lose a player like that.
Brown is a guy that keeps the whole group together, you know, being the former captain. He's just, you know, invaluable, I think, in the peripheral categories for fantasy, but also in that locker room. He's an important presence to have back. We wanted to note a couple of outside replacement options for these two big injuries. For the centers, we have Elias Lindholm, who's back on that top line for Calgary. Matt Duchene, you've been pumping him up. He's been really good. Even through the downs and the three-game losing streak for the Senators, Matt Duchene has been a beast lately.
Yeah, I picked him on live on the network the other day. I said, you got to start Dutchie. He's going back to Colorado. And like I said, coming back to this point, he's all about the spotlight. He loves shining in these big games, multi-goal game performances. And it looks like this Senators team is here to stay. I know that they might not be a playoff team, but it looks like they're coached well enough that they're going to hang around in games. So guys like Duchene, guys like Mark Stone, guys like Thomas Chabot will all be fantasy relevant and even borderline top 100 players throughout the season.
One thing I wanted to mention in this episode, because the Avalanche are not playing tonight, I wanted to try to work it in. That Avalanche top line is absolutely off the charts. That game the other night against the Senators, against Duchene, that was an absolute onslaught. Rantanen is for real. I was wrong about Mikko Rantanen. Not that I was wrong, but I just underestimated him a little bit as a standalone fantasy asset. He leads the league in scoring right now, has over 20 points. We're not even in November yet.
Yeah, I was pumping his tires in September just because even if that team, you know, doesn't find the depth scoring like they did last year, their top guys are so good, a cut above the rest. They don't need that secondary scoring. I was talking to somebody in the office yesterday about trade targets, and one of my suggestions was trade Kyle Palmieri for Gabriel Landeskog. Now, you might have to sweeten the pot. He also has Nico Hischier. That'd be an aggressive bundle. I'd probably want to hold Hischier on that, but you're not going to be able to get McKinnon. You're not going to be able to get Rantanen for anybody. I mean, that would be insane to trade those guys. But you could get Landeskog. And I think Landeskog, even though he's kind of capped out around a 55, 60-point player, he could have 35 goals just cleaning up for these two other guys. So that would be my number one trade target of the week.
And I know we had a fan question the other day asking if, I think the guy was asking if he should stack Tyson Barry. He already has like three or four halves. I mean, at that point, I know you said,
I mean, I feel like I'm sitting at the poker table just sliding all my chips right in the middle. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, the Avalanche have been near the top of the NHL standings, their line near the top of our top line rankings, right there with the Boston Bruins line of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak. So now another goalie, we were talking about the replacements, Corey Schneider coming back. So he's probably not owned in your league. A lot of people have stashed him, but he's going to be backing up Keith Kincaid on Tuesday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. If you remember, they played the Lightning in the playoffs last year. Kincaid kind of struggled in that series. Schneider came in and was really strong. I'm really looking for him to make a push here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know you and I were speaking this morning about the Devils and their kind of wacky schedule. You mentioned that they have like a big homestand, or they had a big homestand. Now they're going on the road for a while.
So they've played seven of their first eight games at home, including that game over in Sweden. Now they're hitting the road for a seven-game road trip, which starts tonight.
Yeah, and so Kincaid is confirmed to start against the Lightning. So look at that game closely. I mean, if he gives up a couple shaky goals early in the first, you might even see Schneider back as early as Tuesday. So, you know, this might be going on for the next however many games where they're going to rotate. And Kincaid, I know he's lost a couple in a row. He still deserves to be that number one spot unless Schneider really comes in and makes a statement right from the get-go.
It's another competition. We've gotten to these competitions. Last episode, we were talking about Yaroslav Halak, who, by the way, is starting again on Tuesday night. That was another bummer pick. Each of us picked the Bruins. I picked Tuukka Rask on Saturday. That was a big-time loss. Across the board, no matter what kind of fantasy league you're in, losing to the Habs 3-0 at home, a couple of shaky goals he allowed. What's going on with this picture, and how does it affect the replacement option situation for a guy like Jonathan Quick?
I know we were talking about Boston's depth scoring too, and when you get down 2-0 hole like that, and you're relying so heavily on your top line to get something going, if they get shut down, you're flat out of luck. And then that's what the problem for Rask is. If he allows those shaky goals early, he's not going to have the depth scoring support that some of these great teams do year in and year out. And to be quite honest with you, I think we're seeing a good team and not an elite team, to steal a line from James Franklin. I think we're seeing a very good Boston team that has that great top line, But where is everybody else? You can't roll these guys out for 25 minutes a game. That's what I'm concerned about. I mean, for streaming purposes, I'll roll Halak out there, you know, confidently. He loves getting a lot of shots against, so he thrives in that condition. But from a Boston standpoint, DFS-wise, I don't see a lot of value in their second, third, and fourth line anymore.
I do see some value in Torrey Krug tonight, who's going to be making his season debut. He's in the mid-5,000 range in FanDuel, so roll him out. First power play, bounce back appeal for the Bruins with Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, and company. Another guy in a healthy competition who's really making a strong push. We don't know if he's going to start on Tuesday, is Jonas Korpisalo for the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets are 4-0-0 when he started, and Bobrovsky has been a big disappointment in a contract year. And you kind of get the sense that Tortorella is seeing what he has in Korpisalo. And Korpisalo really, you know, he's a younger guy than Bobrovsky. He's been around for a few years now. He's getting an opportunity here to prove himself, not only for this season, but for the future.
Yeah, the Red Wings play the Blue Jackets, and one of my DFS strats lately has been to target the teams that are playing the Red Wings. I know it's a little bit of a sort of like a prey technique, but right. I'm going for it, and I do like the Blue Jackets in this game on Tuesday. I might stay away from Korpisalo just because both of them have been a little bit shaky with save percentage and goals against. It seems like they're just relying so heavily on their top line and their D to get things going, which is fine. I mean, we'll get to the DFS picks later, and I do have a couple Blue Jackets. It's just not their goalie for me.
Fair point. Victor Hedman, speaking of defensemen, upper body, he's on injured reserve. There are some in-house guys. There's a Mikhail Sergachev, who obviously takes the big bump from this. There's Ryan McDonough, who could take on more of an offensive role. Outside defenseman replacements, though, for Victor Hedman, who's a top five guy at the position, Vince Dunn continues to produce for the St. Louis Blues. He's only 10% owned as of Tuesday morning in Yahoo leagues. Is Vince Dunn for real? He's in your top 50 defenseman rankings. Is he there to stay?
Yeah, I don't know why more people aren't picking him up. I would have no hesitation dropping a guy, for example, like Jake Muzzin, who's off to a slower start. Anybody that is in that category where they're normally a top 30 guy that's not producing, no problem just taking a flyer on Dunn and then playing the streaming game the rest of the season. I am also high on Mike Green. I will say he's still out there in 80% of leagues, which for a player of his caliber surprises me. And the other player, too, I like is Oscar Klefbom. He's fifth overall in ice time right now. Anybody that's playing that much on the ice with Connor McDavid is a borderline must start for me. So if Klefbom's out there in your league, too, I would certainly stream him.
And Klefbom's on that first power play unit, which, by the way, is much improved from last season. They were worst in the league in power play percentage last year. Now they're in the top half of the league. Started off in the top five. They're playing RNH there more, McDavid, Dreisaitl.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, how can they go from last in the league with Connor McDavid to like top five? It just doesn't make any sense how there's not somewhere in the middle there. Maybe they end up in the middle there this season. Last injury note we should discuss, Max Pacioretty. Just when you thought that he broke out of that scoring slump, had that goal, he goes down. He has an upper body injury. They say he's day-to-day. No one really knows the severity of it. The good news, though, for Vegas, Alex Tuck is playing well since he returned from injury. I know he's shooting like crazy. Are you all in on him? Would you pick him up? Would you stash him? What would you do with him?
Yeah, I had Tuck on a sleeper list in the preseason. I really like him, even though he doesn't have Pacioretty on his line. He had 8 shots the other day, 2 goals, had an assist in the other game. Good shot volume all throughout his first 3 games since returning from injury. So yeah, Alex Tuck I'm looking at. I'm also looking at Anthony Beauvillier, who's back on that line with Matthew Barzal. I know Barzal's usage has been a little strange lately, but the Islanders have found some nice chemistry in their first 2 lines. And that Lee Nelson Bailey line, by the way, is worth streaming in all formats right now. Those guys are clicking right now. They've already beaten the Carolina Hurricanes, one of the surprise teams of the year, twice.
I know
on the road.
I know that they're well coached. I just can't figure out what's going on with their defense. Like I was checking the box score the other night thinking that maybe Ryan Pulock or Nick Leddy got going. Still nothing. And it's hard to believe with how well the Islanders look and how well they're playing that they're not getting production from the back end.
Pulock scored his first goal of the season on Sunday against the Hurricanes, but yeah, Leddy I think got his first point of the season in that same game.
Yeah.
That's inexplicable. So two other options on the wing before we move on to the slate. Nikolai Goldobin is on that line with Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson, who, by the way, is an absolute stud. 7 goals in his first 7 games for Pettersson.
Yeah, you got to pick up Goldie. There's just no reason not to stream. That is a high-quality stream, and it's I always, for some reason, am partial to streaming these guys that aren't on the elite teams. They're always overlooked. They're always underowned. Get Goldie in your lineup, and you have exposure to one of the most dynamic players in the game.
One fan question we wanted to get to. Jeff at NHL Flames fan. He wants to hear we were talking about defenseman replacements and strategy and stuff like that. He wants to hear our positions, pros and cons, on when someone wants to roster fewer defensemen in their particular league format and roll more forwards and leaving those spots up for grabs. I thought that was an interesting question.
I'm all for it, as long as there's guys that are worth streaming available on the waiver wire. If there's maybe a Jakub Vrána, who's now playing with Ovi and Kuzi, guys like that, maybe Yunus Donskoy with San Jose, who's hot lately. Everybody on San Jose is hot lately. But I would certainly do it in that regard. And especially, too, we've seen this season with defensemen be really slow starting. A lot of the top-end guys, Alex Petrangelo, Ivan Provorov, now Charlie McAvoy's injured, those guys have been a little snake-bitten. So I would have no hesitation maybe dropping one of those guys that's not producing, getting a forward in there, and then staying up to date on your categories. You're going to lose out on too many week-to-week matchups if you're just rostering a guy like Provorov that's -4, that has two assists on the season. It's just not going to do anything for you right now. I have no problem with it.
This strategy is really interesting. I think it works with forwards. It also works with goalies. I mean, with goalies, sometimes you have three goalies and you have the room to roster a fourth to give you added insurance, whether it's a handcuff. I know a lot of Rask owners or Bobrovsky owners want to handcuff those guys right now. I know some leagues, maybe a slow starting lower tier starter might be available, like a Mike Smith or a Jake Allen. It never hurts to add guys like that. So I wouldn't just limit it to forwards, rostering more forwards. I would maybe throw in an extra goalie. And a lot of my teams, I have three or four goalies. And then, yeah, for defensemen, also patience is key. We have that one team, Rob, that we share, one of these expert leagues, and we have a Rasmus Dahlin. We have Charlie McAvoy, who's injured, like you mentioned. We also have Miro Heiskanen and Ryan Pulock. So we went the high-end young defenseman route, and there have been some growing pains, but I think some of these guys are bound to eventually click into a higher gear.
That's one of those rosters that does come on in December or January, so everybody in that league, watch out. We're coming hot. Don't sleep on us. Don't take us lightly. We're making a big push. But one more thing. Hey, before we get into the slate tonight, on Sunday morning, I woke up and was reading an NHL 94 column by a friend of the show, an in-house writer for the NHL, David Satriano. Dave worked hand over fist. He went so in-depth with this article on NHL 94. And for those of you that didn't play the game or are not really sure what it is, it pioneered the whole NHL video game series as we know it today. And that game was awesome. I mean, Mario Lemieux in that game, was just like, you couldn't stop him. Alexander McGillney was in that game. Pat LaFontaine, just absolute legends. And credit to Dave. And I know he got a lot of retweets on his article at David Satriano on Twitter. Jeremy Roenick retweeted it. He was in the game. So just a really cool feel-good story for anybody that wants to get that nostalgic vibe going.
Yeah, I was a big video game guy growing up. All those games that came later, the 2K games, the NHL Breakaway, NHL Hits, which I loved. I mean, those all stemmed from NHL 94, which was a gamer's dream and still is. It's has one of those niche followings. And yeah, major shout out to Dave. He's one of our fantasy contributors. He combined on this story with a number of our correspondents. Another one of our good guys, Dan O'Leary, give him a shout out for this. They talked to Roenick. They talked to a lot of players. I saw Keith Yandel's in there, Austin Matthews, a lot of big names, a lot of coordinated efforts. And this is well worth your read. You know, you got to devote to it. It's a Sunday long read, but it's a really fun initiative and something to reflect on as we're now 20 plus years since the launch of the game.
Definitely. Thanks again for Dave and all the great work he does for us at Fantasy too. He does a top 25 goalie ranking, so hopefully we can get him on the show here and maybe bat around some goalie questions and he can help us get to the bottom of that. Moving ahead, interesting game tonight. We have the Flames at the Sabres. Flames are on their second of a back-to-back, and they came off a really surprising victory in Toronto. Do you make anything of that game? Because they were playing really poorly before that.
This is a hit-or-miss team to me. To me, they won this game, a big surprise, at the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, by the way, have been a really underwhelming home team this year for some odd reason, now without Matthews and everything. But yeah, so some adjustments there. Give the Flames some credit. We mentioned Elias Lindholm. He's been a beast in the faceoff circle. I was looking, he's averaging almost seven faceoff wins per game, seven or eight, somewhere around there. He's playing with Gaudreau and Monahan again. He had 2 points, one on the power play, six shots. He's playing 20-plus minutes a game on the season. David Riddick is starting for the Flames, so maybe against the grain there, just given Flames inconsistencies game to game. But one price I was looking at, Jason Pominville's price, I think is still $4,300 in FanDuel. Take full advantage of that. Anybody who's been had any pulse on DFS in the past week is drafting Jason Pominville. So I wouldn't fade him. I think he's so cheap that you have to roster him on that big line with Jeff Skinner and Jack Eichel.
Yeah, and it really does help that Calgary's coming off the second of a back-to-back. I agree with you. Certainly if you can get exposure to that top line with Eichel and Skinner, buy in with Pominville, even if you don't have, you know, the rest of the salary to spend for Eichel and Skinner. You can get that cheap access to them with Jason Pominville. So he's playing well. Buffalo in general seems to have a really good thing going on.
Yeah, even in their loss the other day to the Blue Jackets, they were ramping it up offensively. One guy that I would draft tonight, cheap defenseman Rasmus Dahlin, $3,900. He's been seeing time on the first power play unit, and he might be paired here with Rasmus Ristolainen for the first time of the season. Jake McCabe, who had back-to-back two-assist games, was kind of scratching the surface in fantasy. He now has an upper body injury, unfortunately, for Buffalo. So they could maybe mash them together and we could see a higher-end offensive unit, because Dahlin and Ristolainen so far have not produced in terms of points.
I was just about to add McCabe to my top 50 defenseman rankings, and then he got hurt. So keep an eye on that. I'm thinking maybe even a little Rasmus stack tonight, right? I mean,
fun.
Get a little crazy with it. Why not? If you're in on the Sabres, they are a pretty good home team. Hutton might steal a game there. I like it. I'd like to be a little aggressive with that low ownership play.
That's a creative little stack, and I'm all for it. Islanders, Penguins, they're going to have a home-and-home set this week, Tuesday in Pittsburgh, Thursday in Brooklyn. So this game, to me, you have to take notice of Brock Nelson. We mentioned him earlier. He's playing with Anders Lee and Josh Bailey. Josh Bailey, by the way, I saw a tweet over the weekend, one of the biggest drivers of production and possession in the entire league among forwards. I think he was in the top 15 or 20 in a certain metric. So he is proving, as is Anders Lee, that they are not just products of John Tavares. That's another group of players that have proved people wrong here early on.
Trap game alert. This is a total trap game. Barry Trotz has this Islanders team firing on all cylinders. Interesting that Matt Barzal, arguably their best player, is only playing around 15 minutes per game the last three or four games. There's something cool going on with their forwards, like we talked about earlier on the show. And with Pittsburgh, look at Chris Letang. He's hurt right now. He's banged up. He might play, but he's not 100%. Derek Brassard, he missed Saturday's game with a nagging ailment. He might not play. Could play, might not. Either way, these guys, some of their top guys, are banged up. I like the Islanders' chances in this one. And either Robin Lehner or Thomas Grace lately, they've been playing well enough save percentage-wise and goals against. You could stream these guys in season-long formats. I know it might not be, you know, a full season that you roster these guys, but right now, at least in the month of October, maybe into November, they're playing well enough to stream them.
Definitely. And one guy that's taking on a bigger load at even strength and maybe even on the power play, if Letang misses this game, is Jamie Oleksiak, who is a big body defenseman, 4 points and plus nine in his past three games. By the way, the Penguins have just romped their four-game road trip just now. They went 4-0-0, outscored teams 23-6. All their top dogs are scoring, and some of these supporting cast guys are getting a piece of the pie as well.
That's why I like it as a trap game even more. Pittsburgh's playing so well right now. Maybe they take the Islanders a little bit lightly tonight. I might get an Islander or two in my lineup if I'm playing DFS. Let's quickly look at Bruins Hurricanes. Not a lot else to say other than Torrey Krug, like we mentioned, is expected to return, Halak starting, and I know you wanted to say something about Sebastian Aho about this.
Yeah, I wanted to give a little praise to Sebastian Aho, who's in our top 25 overall rankings right now. He's tri-eligible in Yahoo, I believe.
He is.
And he is on an 11-game point streak to start the season, which begs the question, his line mate, one of them at least, Michael Ferland, I know he's brought a lot to the table here early on. I just worry about his lineup placement, if he can stick in that spot all season long. I don't worry too much about Aho, but there are other guys in the mix. There's Zikov, who could be moved up to the top six at any time. Andrei Svechnikov, same thing. He's been in mostly the bottom six. You got to imagine he's going to get a trial eventually. Do you sell high on Michael Ferland? I know he's a guy that you've followed a lot in his career.
Not yet. I like that he hits. And if you're in a Yahoo category or Yahoo standard league that covers hits, you've got to keep him in your lineup. And, you know, hey, if Svechnikov gets moved up, that would be a great storyline. Ferland will still provide some category coverage value for you. And at least until Sebastian Aho gets off the streak, you've got to have Ferland on your team. I wouldn't sell just yet.
So now moving forward, Stars at Canadiens. The Canadiens had a great effort on Saturday against the Bruins, as we mentioned. The Dallas Stars have been without Alexander Radulov for four games now, but it looks like he's going to be a game-time decision for this game at the Canadiens, his former team. So Radulov, interesting line tweaking for the Dallas Stars. Radulov was with Tyler Seguin, and Jamie Benn was on the second line. They broke up Seguin and Benn. Benn is on the second line with Jason Spezza, who's been a big surprise, and in deeper leagues might be a decent injury replacement option for an Austin Matthews in one of those leagues where there's just not much out there.
I remember that when we were talking in September before the season started, I was, you know, trying to make my picks for the year in the Western Conference, and I said, hey, I'm a little bit concerned about Dallas if they break up that top line.
Right.
In fact, I think it's better for the team if they do that, to spread out that scoring. It makes bets of fantasy relevant, but it does hurt the stock a little bit of Tyler Seguin and respectively for Jamie Benn. Those two thrive together. I know it's probably better from a team standpoint and a competitiveness standpoint if they are separated, but something to keep an eye on in DFS because their prices are always going to be high. Now they don't have that to feed off one another, so it's going to be less of a stack unless it's a power play stack and maybe more of an individual play. For this game, we're also seeing on the other end of the ice, Carey Price, shades of 2016-17. His price is way up in DFS. He's now bordering one of the fifth most expensive goalies. And, you know, I mean, if you've been listening to the show for the first few episodes, you know that I'm still not sold on the Canadiens. This now is entering territory where I might not be starting Price because of that. His price might be a little bit too high.
Carey Price, that said, has proven that any given game, you can't underestimate him. Even if the Habs have a face-off deficiency or have guys out of the lineup or don't have the center depth to tangle with whoever their opponent is on a given night, it may not matter. That was the case on Saturday when Carey Price shut out the Bruins in Beantown. So that was crazy. Arturi Lehkonen, I wanted to just throw him in too. He's playing with Drouin and Domi. That line continues to produce 5 assists in his past 5 games, so another streaming option there. And before we move on, Joe Bond, our listener, has a question. He has an offer of Jamie Benn, who we were talking about is now away from Seguin, Getzlaff, and Ristolainen for Erik Karlsson, Evgeny Dadonov, and Max Pacioretty. I'm a big Jamie Benn fan, but the more I look at the situations of the other players involved in this deal, I kind of like that Karlsson side a little bit more. How about you? I think Karlsson has still a very high ceiling when it's all said and done.
He does have a high ceiling. I'm going to stick on the side with Ben, Getzlaff, and Risto. And really what sells me on that, I'm really high on Ben and Getzlaff, but Ristolainen pushes that over the edge for me. I want to have some access to that Sabres team if I missed out. So that would be my guy, Risto, to keep in that trade.
Yeah, Ristolainen should eventually produce on the power play. He's had 20-plus power play points each of the past 3 years. I highly doubt they're just going to take him away from that mix moving forward.
Maybe that means I even have another gear to find. If Risto gets going too on the back end and Dahlin produces more, they could be a challenger for the playoffs.
I picked them to make the playoffs, and that's a great point. They haven't fully hit full steam, so yeah. That's really encouraging for the Buffalo Sabres. Devils at Lightning. We touched on this game a little bit with the Devils hitting the road for 7-game road trip after their home heavy schedule. Kincaid is starting. Schneider is backing up. Damon Severson has been one of those off the wall pickups, at least a point in 7 of his first 8 games, playing on the same team as Will Butcher and Sammy Vatanen. How is this happening and is it sustainable?
Well, it's happening because Butcher and Vatanen aren't doing anything, to say it lightly. And is it sustainable? Probably, if Vatanen and Butcher continue to not produce. Someone's got to produce on that back end. Someone's got to feed up the pucks up the ice to Hall and Heischer and Palmieri. Those guys are flying at even strength. So, hey, if you've got it, like I said, if you have a number 3 or number 4 D-man spot that's not doing a lot right now, you might as well commit to riding the trends and play in the waiver wire. And Severson's one of the first guys on the list for me for that.
And how about that? Maximizing your usage. Remember those couple of years where Severson had every opportunity in the world before Butcher came around, before the Vatanen trade? Severson had all those power play one opportunities, didn't take advantage of it, now has a little bit of heat under his seat and is maximizing his usage and his production.
There's this phenomenon in the NHL where young defensemen do take a while to get going. We're seeing it night in and night out now. This could be one of those situations, and if you really are a believer in that theory, pick up Severson now.
And one other note on the Tampa Bay Lightning. We mentioned Victor Hedman's out. Andre Palat is going to miss at least the next two games, causing the Lightning to shuffle their lines a little bit. And JT Miller is a great value pick. He's one of my picks of the night, playing back in that left wing spot on a line with Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov. So the triplets, after, you know, we do these line rankings and we have them on the cusp of the top 10. They had a great week and a half together, but now they're broken up again. That's the nature of lines around the league.
So Stamkos gained center right wing eligibility, which is really cool. He's a dual eligible player now. In Yahoo, that's big news, especially because Stammer hasn't been producing like he should be. So now you get a little added bonus to keep Stamkos. I think he's a good trade target too with that, just to get that line of flexibility. I mean, you don't even have to put him on your bench anymore because he can just stash him at right wing, stash him at center, whichever you please. So something to keep an eye on for that. Golden Knights at Predators. One of the first things I need to say about the Predators, their top line is continuing to roll. I updated our top 200 rankings on Monday. Ryan Johansson, big jump. Victor Arvidsson, big jump. Philip Forsberg, big jump. There's just nothing that's stopping these guys. Doesn't matter who the opposition is. And for the Golden Knights blue line, they could get picked apart by that trio tonight.
Yeah, that line has really, they're a top five line in the league for sure right now. All three of them in the top 100 overall. Philip Forsberg has taken his game to that new level that we've seen in the playoffs. He's starting to do it in the regular season, so that's a long time coming for the Predators. And we should mention Max Pacioretty being day-to-day. Thomas Hajka replaced him on the line with Eric Halla and Alex Tuck. I would draft Tuck. That's about it on that line. Tuck with the strong shot volume, high floor in DFS, and a favorable price. Senators at Coyotes. You've been all over the Coyotes. We both kind of thought they had sneaky value coming into the season, but this is a team that is absolutely powerful at 5-on-5, not only offensively, but also defensively.
They had the underlying numbers there since day one of the season, too. They just weren't putting pucks in the net. Now they're going in. You're seeing some chemistry, I think, being formed with Galchenyuk and Keller, which really intrigues me, continues to intrigue me. And until people catch on to this, I'm going to keep talking about it because it's one of my favorite trends to watch so far.
And we mentioned last episode, Derek Stepan moving to the second line. Brendan Perlini and Christian Fisher have been productive in that spot. The Coyotes have the second best penalty kill in the NHL, the second fewest 5-on-5 goals allowed. Ottawa has lost three straight, and the Coyotes are coming off a dismantling of the Lightning, who were on the second of a back-to-back. But still, that doesn't happen by accident. You don't just roll the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't care if Victor Hedman's playing or not. That's one of the deepest teams in the league, and this is a big vote of confidence for the Coyotes moving forward.
It's a huge vote of confidence, and I rolled Antti Raanta out as my goalie on Saturday, played really well, earned a lot of DFS points, and I see no reason why you shouldn't ride this trend. I know that, you know, people like to diversify their picks. I see no problem rolling Antti Raanta back out against the Ottawa Senators, who have lost three straight tonight.
Two other teams that have multi-game losing streaks right now. The Philadelphia Flyers are facing the Anaheim Ducks in California. Anaheim's lost five in a row. Philly has lost three straight by a combined 13-2 margin. Philly, of all the teams, they're disappointing teams that each of us picked to make the playoffs. The Kings, the Blues, some of these other teams. Philly, to me, I think, is the most disappointing. Their goaltending is a wreck. Their defensemen have underachieved, from Provorov to Goss Despair. And even guys like Couturier, I mean, coming back from the injury, these guys had such an encouraging postseason in that series against the Penguins. I'm just really disappointed at what they've provided, or their lack of production so far.
At least their opponent, the Ducks, have the injury bug excuse for their ups and downs. And I have no problem. The only thing that does rattle me a little bit about the Ducks is that John Gibson last week, back-to-back losses with better than a .950 combined save percentage. That should never happen in the NHL. I don't care who's on your forward group. That should never happen. Back to the Flyers, way too good of a team on paper to be floundering like this. They can't get anything going. There's no chemistry. The power play, which they used to live and die by, looks like a shell of its former self. And this is a great opportunity for a guy like Ivan Provorov, the quarterback's at second power play, to step up and do something about it. If he gets a power play goal in this game against the Ducks on Tuesday, that could be his spot on PP1 moving forward. Let's see something like that spark the team. We need any sort of sign from them that something's going to click there.
And the Anaheim Ducks, you mentioned the injuries. Since we've last spoken on this show, Max Comtois and Nick Ritchie join a list that already includes Andre Kasha, Corey Perry, Patrick Eves. Jacob Silverberg came back, though, on Sunday, and he had a couple of shots, played almost 20 minutes. He's a guy that's in the top six to stay, at least while all these guys are out, and someone who's worth rostering for fairly cheap.
He was a top 10 player over the first 2 weeks of the regular season in fantasy, and he's in a contract year, so maybe there's a little bit of added motivation on his end. There's no reason why you shouldn't roster him if you've got maybe a thin wing spot.
And no matter which way you slice it, he's either playing with Getzlaff, Kessler, or Henry. This team is at the very least, healthy down the middle at the center position. Nightcap, Rangers, Sharks leads us to a fan question from one of our listeners, Simo Waswomi 123 on Twitter. Unfortunately, I have to trade Austin Matthews. I'm not really sure why, but if you have to trade him, that's fine. I would like to have your opinion, Rob and Pete, on who I should pick up between Kapanen, Hurdle, Domi, Meyer, Josh Bailey, or Anders Lee. We've been pumping up Josh Bailey and Anders Lee, but I don't see how you could answer this question without Timo Meyer or Tomas Hertl, because that line has been through the roof so far. Second line for the Sharks has been outperforming the first.
Yeah, after the Matthews injury, jump from my favorite in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Maple Leafs, ride the bandwagon on my favorite team in the Western Conference, the San Jose Sharks, go for Meyer, go for Hurdle. Again, circling back, though, I'm not sure why you need to trade Matthews. Maybe you're getting slammed on those weekly categories, in which case I understand you want to make up some ground. But if there's any opportunity to hold Matthews, stash him on IR, and maybe pick up some streaming options, I would rather do that than trade him, but that's just me.
And now let's get to our picks for the night. We have center, wing, D, goalie. I'm kicking this thing off. I'm riding the trend on Brock Nelson. I know he's going up against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, but this is a depleted Penguins team that could be without Derek Brassard and or Chris Letang. Brock Nelson has 5 goals on the season. Look at his numbers in October in his career. By far the most goals, by far the most points. He's shooting 21% in his career in October for some odd reason, but he's a guy that needs to be taken seriously at the very least in this month on a line with Anders Lee and Josh Bailey. JT Miller on the wing, 4,900 in FanDuel. That's a no-brainer playing with Kucherov and Stamkos on the top line. I'm also going with the Lightning. Mikhail Sergachev, 4,500. I like that he's bumped up to the first power play with Kucherov and Stamkos. I like the heavier even strength workload instead of playing the usual 14, 15 minutes a game for the second year defenseman. And then keep an eye on the goaltenders for Columbus. I like them either way against Detroit, but I really like Jonas Korpisalo. I don't really care too much that he's given up 4 goals in each of his past 2 games. I just love what I've seen, the energy level from a team that's in flux otherwise with the Panarin and Bobrovsky contracts. I like the positive breath of fresh air that Korpisalo has brought to the table. And for 7,800 in FanDuel, it's hard to get a goalie who has a decent chance of winning for under 8,000. So I'm rolling Jonas Korpisalo for my pick in the goalies section.
I love that we've both got some stacks, Stack City, in our lineup tonight. You're rolling with the Lightning stack. And Mikhail Sergachev, on the theme that we've been pounding here, young defenseman starting off slowly. Mikhail Sergachev fits the mold. Now with Hedman out, this is Sergachev's time to rise, time to say, hey, the Habs shouldn't have traded me. I'm the guy. I'm going to take over the league. I hope he does it tonight. My picks, this is total value store, Dollar Tree, load up on the Hostess Cakes, the red Solo cups, fill your carts up. This is straight up value. Center, Pierre-Luc Dubois, 5,600. For a first line center on a team that we both liked on Tuesday, this does not get any better than the value. He had 2 goals and an assist in his last game. Ride him while he's hot. He is a little bit of a streaky player. There are nights where he'll have multi-points. Then he has nothing, but I still like the trend to continue against the Red Wings. Favorable matchup. For wing, Timo Meyer, I don't understand, and he was my pick on the network on Friday too. I don't understand why his price isn't rising. And, you know, I like to diversify my lineups. I like to get new blood in there. Until his price rises, you have to roll this guy out. He's averaging over 13 fantasy points per game over his last 8 games now. I mean, that is total consistency. And for $5,000, he's a lock. Then I'm stacking Pierre-Luc Dubois with Seth Jones as my blue liner for $5,200. This is one of the most premier blue liners in the league. I have no reason why he should be priced at $5,200, but he is. So throw him in the lineup. And then goalie, I'm turning right back to the Coyotes. I'm going back to Antti Raanta, and I am going to start him until the Coyotes lose. They look really good 5-on-5. If they can get their power play going a little bit more, this team is dangerous as a sleeper in the West.
And they've fared well against some decent opponents lately. They beat the Blackhawks on the road. They beat the Lightning at home. They're playing the Senators, who are kind of spilling right now. So I agree. I think if Korpisalo's not playing and Bobrovsky is much more expensive, which I think he is, Raanta's a great goalie option. I'm totally on board with you. And another note on Dubois, I think all five of their goals against the Sabres on Saturday came from top liners. So either Panarin scored the overtime winner, Dubois, and Cam Atkinson. So that line's carrying the torch really nicely for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Timo Meier, who you mentioned, 8 goals already, top 10 in the NHL. We loved his shot volume last year, and he's starting to cash in.
What is with the depth scoring here in the NHL? Where is it? I mean, we keep talking about these top-line guys, but you get it with the Sharks. Now their depth guys are going. So I love Timo Meier tonight. And thanks again, everybody, for listening. Please do not forget to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, stream on Audioboom, wherever you get your podcasts. We look forward to bringing you another episode. For Pete Jensen, I'm Rob Reese, signing out.